Amphibians appear to be going extinct faster than any other species group, which has led zoos and other institutions all over the world to collaborate on the creation of an amphibian ark to help save species in captivity. And with me now is biologist Dr. Kevin Zippel. He is the program director of the amphibian ark. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
How quickly are amphibians going extinct, and are we talking about all of them? The salamanders, the newts, along with the frogs and the toads?
Yes, I think people tend to focus on the frogs and the toads just because they are the most recognizable of the amphibians. And in terms of amphibian diversity, almost 9 out of 10 amphibian species are frogs and toads. So they do get the majority of the attention. But really, all amphibians across the board are in trouble. If you are to look at the background extinction rate that amphibian species are facing today, at the conservative end, it is probably 200 to 2,700 times greater than anything they've experienced in their 360 million year history.
Well, they're among Earth's oldest inhabitants, going all the way back to the Devonian period. So why are they threatened now after they have survived so many cataclysms over the millions of years?
Well, it's funny. I mean, they watch the dinosaurs come and they watch the dinosaurs go. But yes, today they're facing this new, unique set of threats that is pushing them to extinction. And it's really a combination of threats that all share one common origin. They're all anthropogenic, caused by people. And it ranges from things like habitat destruction, which affects more species than any other threat, to pollution, introduced diseases that are being moved around the planet by people, overcollection. All these things individually would probably be enough to really give amphibians a hard time, but working together, in some cases synergistically, they're really creating what we call the perfect storm for amphibian extinction.
Does the fact that most of them live both in water and on land contribute to this?
Well, absolutely, and I think that's one unique way that they are vulnerable. If the upland habitat is destroyed but the wetland is left, you lose your amphibians because they need both parts of the habitat to survive, and vice versa. If you destroy the wetland but leave the upland habitat, you lose the amphibians. And with pollution, they're susceptible to both pollution on the land as well as in the water, kind of unique to this group.
Isn't there also a fungus that has become a major threat?
Yes, one of the diseases that's really getting a lot of attention is a fungus called amphibian chytridiomycosis. And we believe it originated in South Africa. The earliest record we know of is in the late 30s in a species of frog that subsequently was very popular internationally, and originally for human pregnancy tests. If a woman wanted to know if she was pregnant, the doctor would take a sample of her urine and inject it into a female of this species of frog. And if the frog laid eggs, they knew the woman was pregnant. So these things were shipped all over the world by the thousands or tens of thousands every year. And as they began to be replaced by more modern techniques for pregnancy testing, these frogs were becoming common in laboratory studies as well as in the pet trade. So all of these frogs shipped around the world, and presumably with them, this disease being introduced into habitats had never seen a disease like this before. So now we're seeing mass extinctions of amphibians, pretty much on every continent where amphibians are found.
So how does the amphibian ark work? Who came up with the idea? NOAA?
Almost. Basically, we recognized that amphibians were in trouble. There was a study published in 2004 called the Global Amphibian Assessment that revealed that almost half of all amphibian species are currently declining. Somewhere between a third and a half are currently threatened with extinction. Well over 100 have gone extinct in recent years. And that inspired a meeting in Washington, D.C. in 2005 called the Amphibian Conservation Summit, which gathered amphibian experts from all across the world, and they developed a plan, and part of that plan was putting amphibians into captivity. And I think everybody agrees that saving amphibians and all wild things in the wild is the greatest priority. But some of these threats that we're facing, things like disease and climate change, we simply cannot address in the wild. We have species going extinct in pristine habitats, so typical habitat protection is no longer enough.
So would it be in a single location, or will this be spread to various places around the world.
Yep. In this case, the Ark is a metaphor. They're not all going to be in one location. Probably a more accurate view would be a series of life rafts built all over the world, primarily in the range of the species in need of help.
And how is this different from what zoos are already doing?
It's actually very similar, but brought up in order of magnitude. We surveyed the available space in zoos and aquariums, botanical gardens, natural history museums, and we figure that there's probably enough space today to save about 10% of the amphibian species that need to be rescued or they're going to go extinct in the wild. What the Amphibian Ark is trying to do is to help this community build up the awareness and the resources and the capacity to bring in that additional 90% or as much of it as we can possibly do.
And where does the project stand now? Are some of the more endangered species like the bright yellow Kihanzi spray toad already on board, so to speak?
Well, yep. The Kihanzi spray toad is a wonderful example of a species that has already been brought aboard onto the metaphorical ark before there was even an amphibian ark program. That's something that the Bronx Zoo started back in 1999. The species was just shortly discovered there before, and it was in a development project for a hydroelectric power plant. So we knew that the habitat was going to be severely altered. 500 toads were brought into captivity. The population in the wild did crash when the dam was construction was completed, started to recover, but then this chytrid disease arrived, and they haven't been seen in the wild since 2003. So that's a species that we're fairly certain now exists only in captivity and would be extinct if it weren't for activities like the amphibian ark.
Do amphibians breeding in captivity require certain physical needs?
They do. Certainly they have the same needs as most other living organisms in terms of food and water and shelter. But I think because all amphibians have these thin, permeable skins through which they drink and breathe, water quality is certainly more of an issue for them than it is, say, for birds or mammals or reptiles that might be worked with in captivity. It actually makes them a lot more similar to working with fish.
My guest is Dr. Kevin Zippel, who's program director of the Amphibian Ark. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. How much do you estimate this project will cost?
Well, if we were to do it completely from scratch, assuming that there is no infrastructure currently in place, it would cost about $50 million to do what we need to save these amphibian species that need to be brought into captivity.
$50 million
sounds like a lot of money, but when you break that down per species, we think there's 500 species that are otherwise going to go extinct in the wild. That's only $100,000 per species. That's something that easily a big zoo can do, a business can do, a group of individuals, and even well-to-do individuals can single-handedly be responsible for saving an amphibian species from extinction.
Is the idea to eventually release these species back into the natural habitats once those habitats are cleaned up?
That is certainly the ideal, that once the original threats are mitigated in the wild, that these animals, as quickly as possible, will go back. But in some cases, we have no idea how to fix that original threat. In the case of the chytrid fungus, for example, it's something that we can readily treat for in captivity. It's actually quite similar to having athlete's foot and going through a series of antifungal baths. But we have no way of stopping that disease in the wild today. But we might have a cure in a year. We might have a cure in 100 years. Unless we bring these amphibian species into captivity now, we simply won't have those options in the future.
With birds and mammal species, there's often a problem of reintroducing them into the wild. They have lost some of their basic instincts of coping with the wild. Would that happen with amphibians, or are they too primitive to be affected by where they live?
I think it is possible that they could become genetically different in captivity and lose some of that ability, but I think that is more the exception than the rule. Anybody who thinks that's an issue, take a look at the feral cat population anywhere in the world. There's an animal that's been domesticated for so long it bears almost no resemblance to its original ancestors, but has no problem stepping out our back door and immediately rehabituating to the wild.
Is there a benefit beyond the fact that we just don't want to see these amphibians go extinct?
Absolutely. I think amphibians are important to humanity for many reasons. They serve a vital role in ecosystems and food webs in certain habitats. Like here in New York State, you can go out into a hardwood forest and the density of salamanders, of just one species of salamander, produces more meat in that ecosystem than all of the mammal species combined. So that's a huge source of food as well as predators. They help to keep invertebrate pests in check. And in areas of the world where amphibians have disappeared, we see a decline both in the predators who specialize on them, but also on the invertebrate pests that used to be preyed upon by them. We see increases in malaria and pests to human crops, things of that nature.
Where do you think this $50 million is going to come from? Has the government shown any interest in helping you out?
So far, the government is certainly involved in a number of amphibian projects here and there around the world, but we would certainly like to see that relationship stepped up, at least in order of magnitude, to really deal with this crisis in proportion to what it needs.
We have a link to the Amphibian Ark website posted on our show page at WNYC.org if you want to learn more about it. And my great thanks to Dr. Kevin Zippel, Program Director of the Amphibian Ark, for talking with us today.
Thank you, Leonard. I appreciate the opportunity to get the message out to people.